Let us start today's day with a word of with a prayer to start. Father God, we just come before you and as to experience this amazing grace that you have showered upon us every day and all the days of our life. This morning we just ask that, you know, through the songs of praise and through the scriptures, that we go into these meditations with you and in you, Lord. Be with us, Holy Spirit, to speak your word into our heart and empower us throughout the day. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we start off with a worship song, with a praise song, and you know, when I was a young Christian, not much, you know, Bible reading, not much of, you know, being course, like, you know, discipleship course and all this, a lot of time that really shaped my faith at the very beginning is those worship songs, those lyrics. They speak to me and form my theology and form my faith a lot of times. And a lot of people will look at, like, you know, sometimes we go through and look at the lyric, and some people will challenge, like, some of the lyric may not be biblical, and some of the old, like, the stone defender for the older hymns will say that, you know, when you look at the older hymns, that the lyric actually give you a good theology, or some of the lyric the hymns actually you have to sing all the stanzas, because it actually from the very beginning to the glory consummation with God coming to the new heaven and earth, that's sort of like complete journey of faith. Quite often it reflected in old hymns. And so this morning I picked up this song, Amazing Grace, to share with you guys, and, you know, just invite you to us to go through this journey of when John Newton composed this song, wrote the lyric, his journey of his faith. This Amazing Grace, this song, a lot of time we heard about it, it's so popular and have so many different versions. You go online, you even have the Chris Tomlin one, the two stanza, and change into something really modern and speak to us today. But going back, this songs was originally written in 1772, and back then in those days that they have prayer meeting every week, and they went through this period of time, they want to sing a new song to God, so each prayer meeting they sing a new song, and this is one of the new song that is being sung at the time. And in the hymn book, he composed this hymn book with his friends Cowper, and in the hymn book is 348 songs, hymn songs, and this book, hymn book actually divided into three sections. A lot of times, like back in the old day, people are illiterate and they cannot read, and a lot of time it's like through singing those hymns that with the music together, the word of God really go into people's heart, really secure in people's heart. And one of his purpose, when he wrote in this hymn book, is that it is his desire to promote the faith and also comfort of the sincere Christians. And this song has been translated in many different versions in different languages. And so when you go to different country, especially mission trip, and you sing this song, you probably can find in all different languages in the local dialect. And so quickly, I'd like to go through this song, the lyric, with you, and then just, you know, just help take us in to meditate and upon about the grace of God. And maybe I'll just start off reading the six stanzas again. It starts off with, "Amazing grace, how sweet the song that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see." This first stanza talk about the grace and the grace of God that has been in Newton's life. And just now we were talking about, you know, this song is being put into one of the category. He's actually under category book one. And in book one, they actually have responding scriptures. It's like a reflections. You meditate on certain scriptures, and you respond, you come up with these songs. And this, the referring scripture of these songs is actually from 1 Chronicles 17:16. And the background, maybe we can turn to that. Let's turn to the 1 Chronicles 17:16. The background of this is a prayer from David. The background of that is that David loves God so much that he wants to build the house of the Lord. And so he go up and ask. I mean, you do things for God, you want to ask whether it is God's will and whether it's God's heart. So what David did is he went up to the prophet, Nathan, and ask, you know, is it okay to build a house of the Lord? And without much thinking or much seeking God, that Nathan is just like, oh, go ahead, it should be okay. And then later on, God actually spoke to Nathan and said, no, it's not time. It's not time for David to build my house. It will be his son who build my house. But after he said all this, but he got go ahead and continue to bless David with this prophecy, blessing his household, blessing, providing his the house, and also blessing David's descendant. And in God's blessing, he blessed that, you know, his son and himself and his descendant will go into the kingdom of God, will go to the house of God. And so after David hear this blessing from God, he responded in 1 Chronicles 17:16. Then David the king went in and sat before the Lord and said, "Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me this far? This was a small thing in your eyes, O God, but you have spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come, and I have regarded me according to the standard of a man of high degree, O Lord God." If you look at these little verses, you can see bit and pieces in the lyric, the song Amazing Grace, that it is Newton's meditations on these scriptures when he reflected in his own life, and through this scripture he come up with the song Amazing Grace. And so get back to the first stanza. It says, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost but am found, was blind, but now I can see." From this fourth little sentence, we can actually immediately associate with scriptures from the New Testament. Quickly, we can associate this with the story of the prodigal sons. When the book of Luke, when the father, seeing the son coming back after the son has spent all his inheritance, and but yet the father is waiting for the son to come back, and the father say, "For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And the last verses say, "Was blind but see immediately." Again, we reminded about the scripture about the blind man. He exclaimed when God healed him, "Is that I once was blind and now I can see." If we look at the scripture like with the stance, this first stanza very closely, actually, we look at it. Is this grace of God is so great? When Newton, when he was saying that I'm a wretch, it's not just he is in a desolate stage, but he's talking about his inability, even himself, going back to God. A lot, he is a Calvinist. He believes in this absolute grace that man cannot do anything, but it is God who saved him. Man cannot, at his own will, to actually even attain his salvation. And if we look at the life of John Newton, he actually was grow up in a Christian family because his mom was a Christian, a devout Christian. So he had some Christian influence at the very beginning of his life. But his mom passed away when he was 6, and his dad is a sailor. So he didn't have much, you know, care of the, you know, the father and the mother, you know, mother since a very young age. And since then, he'd been, you know, go into this phase of disobedience and staying away from God. And he in his life is experienced a few times that he come to encounter with death, and each time he will go before God and ask God, you know, save me, and I will go back to you, and but yet every time when the, you know, certain events die down and peace again, he forgot, and during his life he was a sailor. Saw the movie Amazing Grace, he is actually a captain of a slave ship. He actually trade slave from Africa to the United States, and his life has degenerated in such a time that, you know, he was distrusted by his fellowship seamen, distrusted, disliked, and he swear all the time, say all this horrible thing, and he actually have a nickname called Greek Blasphemer, who swear and say all this horrible thing, and is a very bad characters. And in his letter, he actually wrote, you know, that describing his life is, you know, like an unwary sailor who quit his port just before a rising storm. I renounce the hope and comfort of the gospel at the very time when every other comfort was about to fail. He's in a, such a state that he, in a dire situation, but yet he rejected God. Yet he do not want to go back to God. It's almost describing a state that he's incapable of accepting Christ into his life, receiving Christ into his life. And he's finally come one faithful time when he was again in a sea going home. There is a great this violent storm, and in the midst of it, it's like they try all means and try to survive, and nothing come through. And in the midst of it, he just cried out to God and said, "Lord, have mercy on me." And after that, the storm calmed, and he went back to his cabinet, and he started reflecting again on his life, and the grace of God came through and start working in his life. And at that point, he really had Christ into his life, and his life started turning and changing. And it is then, no wonder, if you look at the second stanza, it says, "It is your grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear relief. How precious does that grace appear, the first hour I believe." Kind of inviting us to go back to the very moment when he going back and forth, and finally he encountered God. Finally, the grace of God worked in his life, and his eyes being opened, and how it changed his life the first hour he believed. This stanza actually reminded me of the scripture from Ephesians 2:8-9. It say that by grace you have saved through. You have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not as the result of works, so that no one may boast. And also in Romans 5:1-2, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into his grace, in which we stand, and we exulted in the hope of the glory of God. It is so important that we keep visiting our past, not to condemn or not to dwell in the shameful past or the sinful past that we have, but purely is to remember how great God is, how his grace has been played into our life. In Old Testament, a lot of time that keep asking us to go back to revisit the word of God that have been in people's life. For example, during Passover, they retell the story about how the Israelite coming out from Egypt, how God have saved them. And it's this repeating and reminding, because if we forgot, a lot of time we will repeating doing the same wrong thing again. And actually, this philosopher called George Santayama, he said that, you know, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. And I think this morning, I see my time is running out, so maybe the next part, I will go through the song next time in the other part, but maybe let's take this time to ponder, to think about the great thing that God have done for us. Before we go for that meditations, I want to quickly jump to the end of the life of John Newton. You know, when he was, after he come back, he retired from seafaring after a series of illness. He become a pastor. He become an Anglican minister. And he had been serving the Lord, preaching God's word for more than 40 years after he become Christians. At the end of his life, his health is really deteriorated. He was blind at the end. And 2 years before his life end, people asked him, you're very old, it's okay to retire and all this. But he responded by saying that, "My memory is leanly gone, but I remember two things. I'm a great sinner, and Christ is a great savior." And on his tombstone, that he is written on his tombstone, it said that once an infidel and libertine, a servant of slave in Africa, was by rich mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ restored, pardoned, and appointed appointed to preach the gospel, which he has long labored to destroy. He ministered near 16 years in Orney in Buckingham and 28 years in the church in London. It is the life that I want to invite us to go back to how God saved us, to remember the incredible grace that God has given us in saving us. And I won't have time this morning to go through all the stanza, but as the stanza go, we talk about the growing in faith, facing the challenges that we have in life. And in fact, those challenges being placed in our life is the grace of God. And it's the grace of God that takes us through and re-equipping us and become more Christ-like and having the blessed hope at the very end going when everything all fail, when the world going to decay, our bodies going to decay, but yet God is with us forever. God is being there. And it is this journey of Newton that I want to invite you this morning to be encouraged by him, that he did not give up because he knew that God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son to all of us. And he know this love is meant to share with the people. And he know that his calling, it is his privilege as well to preach the word, to share the gospel. And I would like to encourage, you know, this coming Saturday is the local outreach and the many different things that we do in go about in our life. But I want to encourage that through this example of Newton, through the grace of God and the experience of this grace of God, that we will overcome, you know, our limitation, overcome the potential embarrassment going up to people that we don't know, or overcome our own inability to, you know, discomfort of, you know, talking about faith, because a lot of time we felt that when it's too overpowering to share. And I just want to say that in comparison to the grace of God, that so much of grace of God, all this discomfort is nothing in comparison. And lay it all down and really living out that privilege that God has given us. God did not just come and save us. He also gave us this privilege to be able to partner with him, to see life being changed. And so, I would invite, you know, Yvain back to go through all this song once again. Let us meditate on each stanza. And maybe you are at a different stage of your life, but going through it and ask that for the continual outpouring of grace on us to empower us to continue to the very end. And to the to the day that when we see Jesus, to the day we finally reach that consummations with Christ when he come. It is just like what Paul in his last day he say, I hold my faith, I kept my faith, and I ran the race. And I really pray that this morning that this is a reminder of us continue to strive for Christ. Thank you. In the Westminster Confessions, the one of the first caveat, it say that man's chief aim is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Let's spend some time and ponder with the lyric at the mind at the back about, and also about whether we, how we glorify God, and have we fully enjoyed it, God, as enjoy His presence, enjoy His provision, His providence, enjoy this life that He given us. Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me this far? This was a small thing in your eyes, O God, but you have spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come, and has regarded me according to the standard of a man of high degree, O Lord God. Father God, this morning we just give thanks for your grace. This amazing grace, this abundant grace, that in our real true self probably not worthy of receiving, but yet you love us and you pour out this grace on us. This morning we want to spend some time, God, to pray for our community, to pray that this grace will continue to outpour, not just on us, but also on the people that you love, you care. So let's turn to our community prayer focus. Pray for those people who are sick. Pray that, you know, yes, our death is inevitable, but we know that there is a blessed hope that yet to come. And let's pray for, you know, those who are struggling in the recovery in cancer, and just, and also this process of, you know, chemotherapy is a very, it's not an easy process. So just pray that during this time, God's comfort and His faithfulness continue to manifest in these people's life. Let's also turn to the next page and pray for those people who are sick but yet do not know God. Really pray for this grace be pouring out on them, and especially those that, you know, at the very old age and still do not know Christ. Let's pray for them. Let's pray that during their last stage of their life, they come to know God face to face. That they receive this blessed hope from God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's continue to pray for those members of our church that were seeking jobs. Let's pray for God's continued providence on provision for them. These are the people listed on the screen. us turn to today's particular Friday prayer focus. Pray for the local ministry, the local churches, and various ministry that is serving God in Hong Kong, and also pray for this Saturday outreach. We're going to the Hong Kong Baptist Church, and it will be on Saturday 3 to 5. We go to the Soho areas. And the Chukwuemtha House Church is coming with us. Really pray that, you know, this is the first experience, and really pray God be with them and God give them the courage to share the gospel, to share God's love, and just come out of the outcome of song and just to share about God. Also, let's pray for the worship team, the sound and media team, the welcoming hospitality team, and the barista team. Let's pray for Monica's leading worship Sunday, and also Pastor Nate, he will be sharing the message. Just pray for download from God and anointing of God on their mouth and on their hands as they play the instruments. Lift up today's the health chair meeting today is McCain, and also a daddy health chair meeting on Saturday, and Bel Air on Saturday as well. Pray that these health chairs be a channel of blessings for the new people, for the members, as they continue to share in praises and fellowship. Finally, for the Sunday, pray for the Noah's Ark, the nursery, the youth group, and the Sunday service. It's a Mother's Day special service, so lift up all these activities, not being activity, but being a channel of blessing to people coming in, and being a channel where people can come and meet God. Father God, thank you for reminding us of your saving grace, of this grace when we start to continue our journey and maturing, and this grace that provides all our needs, this grace that protects us, this grace of knowing that you are with us. When this flesh and heart shall fail and mortal life shall cease, I shall possess within the veil a life of joy and peace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine, but God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. God, thank you for giving yourself to us. God, that since we have you in us and we have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, I really pray for my brother and sister that they will continue to have this daily fellowship with you as they continue to meditate, as they walk out of the sanctuary, that your presence, your loving presence, is continue to be with them. Thank you for giving yourself to us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.